Call.com.
Good morning. There's a broken down car at I-295 going north right before Pritchard Road. It's on the right side of the highway. But to be frank with you, not a lot of cars on the road, so it's not causing much backup. There's a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms today, a high of 88. This evening, a 1 in 5 chance of rain and a low of 76. Right now, 75 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida was represented well at yesterday's Salute to America event in Washington. The first military displays were aircraft stationed in the Sunshine State. Justice Department officials say they're researching a way to determine citizenship in the 2020 census after a judge said census enumerators could not directly ask. And a new University of Texas, Texas Tribune poll suggests the Lone Star State may be in play as a toss-up state in 2020's presidential election.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show coming at you from WBOB here in Jacksonville. This is Kevin Derby. I am the editor of Florida Daily, www.floridadaily.com. I am pinch hitting for Ed Dean, who is on assignment. Joining me in the city, the studio is former city councilman Matt Schellenberg. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
It really does have a nice ring, that former.
So no one calls you anymore.
No, my calendar is pretty blank.
Here's
right
what
now.
I have found. Some of the very effective elected officials that have, gone into, I guess, a retirement or whatever, or, you know, or waiting out because of term limits or whatever the case may be. The constituents have such a love for them, and they know they're going to get it done regardless. They'll still call.
They absolutely will. Yes,
yeah, am I correct?
Well, that's okay, because I gave most of the people that I know have my cell phone.
Right.
And it's okay, because one of the things that you learn along the way is how to work through the bureaucracy.
Uh-huh.
And I build up a lot of relationships there.
And you still know, you know, the connections and the right phone calls to make to get a pothole fixed.
Right.
Even though you're not being paid.
I'm not sure if I was really paid that very well. But
you're a little part-time salary.
I know, but you don't do it for the salary.
What's it, $50,000 a year plus benefits?
When I came on board, it was $45,000, okay. And then it got that up to $50,000.
So. Thanks to Anna Brochet.
You know what's so funny? I introduced that bill to make the city council half of what you could make on average as a full-time elected official through the state of Florida, and that number is $50,000.
Okay.
By the way, almost every aide of the council people make more than $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Every aide.
The recently retired Sammy Musa, what was his official title?
Chief Operating Officer.
Yeah. And he's not elected. He's making way more than the mayor.
You want to know how much?
I think it was like 200-something thousand a year.
No, you're not even close. Go higher. $325,000.
Wow. Okay. That's
and so so his retirement is it's a percentage, but you know, it's last 5 years of your employment what you're making. So he'll make about $140,000.
I can't criticize him because they're family friends.
Well, first of all, he was amazing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why
you get that kind of money.
Because he was there for 20 years, and he's actually was chief operating officer about 10 years ago, and he understood the system. Now we have somebody that is a political person that doesn't know anything, although he did shadow Sam Musa for a year and a half, so I'm pretty sure that he doesn't know as much as Sam.
Well, interesting points. Now, Roger, you mentioned in the news break about a new poll from the University of Texas, Texas Tribune, saying Texas could be a toss-up in the 2020 presidential election. Look, I think it's a little
If the Republicans don't win Texas, forget it.
Yes.
That's like the Democrats not getting California.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Texas is a must-win, obviously. I don't see Texas as being a swing state in November 2020. I do think there are traditional Republicans.
What are the details? I'm not looking at the specifics, but didn't they say it was like 50-50 with respect to Trump or some generic Democrat?
Exactly, like the Democrats, generic Democrats within like 4 points.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't think Texas is going to be a swing state. Having said that, I will say I do think Democrats are making inroads in Texas because of the influx of young people as well as the continuing growing Hispanic
community. It's Beto's home state.
It is Beto's home state.
It's Robert
and Julian Castro's. Yeah. Yeah.
Robert.
Robert.
Robert Francis.
Yeah, exactly.
And Julian Castro's home state. I think Castro actually had a pretty good debate performance. Mm-hmm. But I don't see Texas as a swing state. You know, every now and then the Democrats will say the same thing about Georgia. Well, it's growing. The African-American population is growing. We have younger people coming in around Atlanta. I don't see Georgia as a swing state. The one traditional Republican state I think will be up for grabs in November 2020 is Arizona. Barry Goldwater's, John McCain's, Red Rocked Arizona. I think that is a state which will be in play. We're already seeing it in last year's elections.
Nowhere
in Arizona.
Near the Electoral College of Delegates that Texas has.
But it's got 11, though. It is not quite the small state. It's a medium-sized state, and it is one that I think Republicans need to have locked down. It's probably the Democrats' best chance outside the traditional swing states to really go on the offense. The Republicans keep talking New Hampshire, Nevada, very small states. Minnesota, which kind of sort of makes, if you squint, kind of looks competitive. You know, that's the Republicans got to go on offense somewhere. I think Minnesota is going to be the closest they'll have to.
You know, I squinted and I didn't see Minnesota.
You don't see Minnesota.
But, you know, people forget Al Gore, if he had won his state of Tennessee, he would have been president.
Yeah. And if he had won Bill Clinton's state of Arkansas, he would have been president.
Yeah,
and
how small they were.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Every vote counts to jump all America.
Do you think that if they win Texas, they'll quit whining about the Electoral College, which was one of the brilliant things that came out of the founding fathers?
Probably not, and here's the reason why. They may see that as just being a one-and-done, you know, thing that happened once. But they really do want the Electoral College done away with so that they can focus the presidential elections not on places like Florida, Virginia, Ohio, North Carolina, but focus them on New York City, Boston, Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
Yeah, and let's be very honest. The Republicans want to get back Virginia. Virginia is pretty blue, folks. That invasion of federal employees, as the continued growth of the federal government grows, they've taken over Northern Virginia. They used to just head to Maryland. Now they're in Virginia. That is a pretty blue state right now. North Carolina, I think, is absolutely battleground. Ohio, I'm seeing a little red. Michigan and Pennsylvania are going to be swing states. And let's be very candid. We had a big news drop yesterday. Congressman Justin Amash, one of the most libertarian, fiscally conservative members of Congress, comes out and says, I'm leaving the GOP. Donald Trump basically went on Twitter and said, good riddance to bad rubbish. Justin Amash has got to be looking at that libertarian presidential bid. And look, I think he, unlike Gary Johnson, the former New Mexico governor, who basically got Democrats because his focus was yay pot, Amash's theme will be, cut the federal government and send the troops home. That, I think, will play much more with conservatives and Republicans than it would Democrats.
Do you believe that Pete Buttigieg is going to have any sway in the safe Republican red state of Indiana, because that's his home state?
Obama carried Indiana in 08. I think Buttigieg has a lot of potential. I think he did very well in his first round of debates. He has an interesting story. I honestly thought he was going to fade. I really did.
I think he's still going to.
Yeah, he might. He might. I thought he was going to collapse on the debate stage. I thought he was going to be completely exposed. He wasn't. He actually did well. I think he's running for a cabinet job. That's how I look at him.
Some people, you have a point, run for president, not because they think they're going to be president, but they're trying to, add a couple of important lines to their resume and, position themselves for the future. And I think probably Buttigieg is in that category.
Absolutely. Look, if the Democrats win in 2020, and assuming he's not the vice presidential ticket, which I can't imagine he would be, I think he would absolutely be in line for a cabinet spot. I think he makes a lot of sense there. And you're right. There are always candidates who you're like, why are they running?
Yeah.
They're running for cabinet jobs.
Or just, to increase their value on the speaking circuit. I don't believe Al Sharpton ever thought he had a chance of becoming president.
That's true.
So he's a former presidential candidate. So you have 24 former presidential candidates. He'd be like me, a former. That's a title that you want to have.
After Bill Clinton was elected in 92, Hillary Clinton did an interview with the British media saying they never thought he was going to actually get the nomination, let alone win. They were just trying to position himself, give him some name recognition for 4 years later.
Absolutely.
He was a third-rated governor from Arkansas. And because at the time, Bush had like 90% approval rating, and then David Stockton convinced him to raise taxes after Bush said, read my lips, no new taxes.
Absolutely. And I will say that the recession of the first Bush does not look anywhere near as severe now in retrospect as it did at the time. I to be very candid with you, considering where the economic bumps and we've had the last 20 years in this country, last 18 years, I think that I will absolutely take the first Bush's economic record, despite even with raising the no new taxes pledge. Right. And
so it was a trust factor.
It was.
I mean, he said something and he basically 180, and people said, "What the heck are you thinking?"
Absolutely. And Bill Clinton was, look, Bill Clinton was a fresh face. Unknown. He had been governor for a better part of a decade, but largely unknown outside of Arkansas. And was look, he was the first baby boomer presidential candidate. He was absolutely the first of that generation. And here's the thing. I'm saying this as a 44-year-old card-carrying member of Gen X. I still listen to the Spin Doctors and Toe the Wet Sprocket. You know, which tells how old I am.
It doesn't help because I didn't know what you just said. I didn't understand the word you said.
That's fine. But, can I do Nirvana? Would that make more sense? Pearl Jam. But look, as someone who's a Gen Xer in my mid-40s, I'm looking, a proud graduate of Samuel W. Wolfson High School from 1993. I'm looking at, the baby boomers are still on the stage. And I'm looking at the presidential field, Joe Biden in his 70s, Bernie Sanders in his 70s, Donald Trump in his 70s, Elizabeth Warren late 60s. I do think there's a chance for a Gen Xer to make their run. It's, not quite as obnoxious as Congressman Selwig did at Let the Torch Be Passed against Biden, but I do think there's that opportunity. Now, having said that, let's be very clear. There were a bunch of Gen X Republicans in 2016, like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, who Donald Trump bashed all the way to the White House.
Yeah.
So we'll see. That's going to be an interesting factor.
How old was Clinton when he won?
Like 46.
46. And how about Obama? About the same thing.
About the same thing. Yeah. Carter, Kennedy, of course, were a little young. Franklin Roosevelt, way back in the day, was also kind of the first part of his generation. Anyways, this is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. Give us a call at 904-831-0600. 904-831-0600.
There are just not a lot of cars on the roads this morning, so if you're heading out, you probably have no problems. In Baker County, 10 east of U.S. 90, there's a broken-down truck. Only problem we see this morning.
Zoner's Pizza, Wings, and Waffles is now open 7 days a week at 8116 Old Kings Road South. Zoner's has regular and specialty pizza, wings, sandwiches, including the pulled pork waffle sandwich, salads, and scrumptious desserts. Try the cheesecake waffle sandwich based on a recipe from Herschel Walker's mother, Dine in, take out, or call for delivery. 551-5608. Zoner's Pizza, Wings, and Waffles, 8116 Old Kings Road South, between University and Bay Meadows. Open 11 a.m., 7 days a week.
Hi, this is Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. Our dear friend, Teresa Ross, is leading a group of friends from the radio station on a tour of the Holy Land this fall, and you are invited to join her on this trip of a lifetime.
Imagine seeing the places we read about in the Bible, visiting the Garden of Gethsemane, getting baptized in the Jordan River, the same river where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, and visiting the city of Jerusalem.
Thanks, guys. I'd love for you to come with me to the Holy Land in late October. Our tour will be professionally guided by Christian Expedition. It goes from October 28th through November 6th, a 10-day trip there in Israel. And they're going to show us all the important sites, explain their significance, answer our questions as we experience the land of the Bible. If you want to find out more about that, all you have to do is call this number right now, 904-831-TRIP, 904-831-TRIP. I really hope you can go.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, these three words bring feelings of fear and anxiety. Contact J. David Tax Law, recently voted best tax attorney in Jacksonville by Folio Weekly Readers and selected as a 2019 Ultimate Tax Attorney by the Jacksonville Business Journal. When you owe the IRS or Florida sales tax and can't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. Don't wait. Call J. David Tax Law for your no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your tax problems step by step, explain your options, and how we will resolve your tax issues once and for all. See why J. David Tax Law was voted best tax attorney in Jax. Call now for a no-cost consultation. 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
This is the Savage Nation.
Talking about Avenatti, I've never seen a lawyer get away with this. As Cohen is being sentenced, this dirty rat gives a press conference saying Trump is next. The legal profession was never developed for people like Avenatti, in my estimation. You think Jerry Nadler is any different than Cohen? They're all cut from the same pickle. You ought to thank God they didn't become judges. In Nadler's case, he went higher than a judge. He became a congressman. Can you imagine that?
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
We're expecting around a 50-50 chance of showers today and a high of 88 degrees. This evening, a 1 in 5 chance of rain and a low of 76, 75 right now at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Laura Bazelon, a lawyer, law professor, and writer, admits in a New York Times editorial, "I pick my job over my kids." A new Quinnipiac poll shows Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are statistically tied for first place among Democrats running for president. And a U.S. Navy SEAL was found not guilty in the killing of an ISIS fighter in Iraq.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600. 0600 or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. I'm Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, www.floridadaily.com. I am pinch hitting for Ed Dean, who is on assignment. You can always give us a call at 904-831-0600. That's 904-831-0600. Joining me in the studio this morning here in Jacksonville, Florida, is Matt Schellenberg, former city councilman, who has been retired for, this is his fifth day of blissful retirement.
Shall I put that on my calling card, former?
Former.
Yeah, maybe.
Can you put the honorable Matt Schellenberg?
the ex-honorable.
the formerly honorable Matt Schellenberg. Not that we're judging your character, my friend.
Exactly, thank you. Good or bad.
Good or bad. You know, a lot going on, of course, even though it's a holiday, you know, holiday weekend. Technically, the roads are a little more clear than they usually are this time of day in Jacksonville. A lot going on. One of the stories that kind of popped up this week, of course, was Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback, who Nike had a overpriced shoe bearing the Betsy Ross flag for the Independence Day holiday. Colin Kaepernick said, "No, that's racist. Nike folded faster than Superman on laundry day." Now, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey said, "Look, words cannot express my disappointment. This is a terrible decision. I'm embarrassed for Nike. Nike's an iconic brand and an American company. This country, our system of government and free enterprise have allowed them to prosper and flourish." He's now talking about withdrawing financial offers to Nike. You know, there's a price to pay, and we're starting to see more and more of what I call woke capitalism, and that is corporations bending their knee to whatever the social liberal cause for the moment is. And I think this is a perfect example of it. I really do.
This is one person. It's just amazing to me. I mean, Wall Street Journal had an article about it. If it was something that was unique and it benefited Nike one way or the other, it would be great. But them to basically listen to one person in this regard, and Colin Kaepernick has had a wonderful life. He was adopted by white parents in San Francisco. And
really?
And to argue that this has been racist. By the way,
I've been black my whole life, and I have never thought of the Betsy Ross flag as being racist, ever.
This is the odd thing. We're always looking backwards. The question that people should be asking always is this a place better than any place else you want to live? And the answer is, of course, it's the best place you could possibly live as a human being on this earth in any year that you pick compared to other places and other terms at the time.
Absolutely. And then look, I'm not one of these conservatives who thinks that athletes should stay in their lane and not care about social causes or politics. I think, Muhammad Ali being the great example in the 60s, his opposition to the draft, the Vietnam War. To me, the great example, I know you're a fellow golf guy, Matt, is Gary Player, the Black Knight, who wore all black to protest his own country's apartheid policies. And it's always great to see. He was actually honored, a huge, great exhibit down at the World Golf Village and the Golf Hall of Fame down in St. Augustine a few months ago. You know, I happen to support that, but I'll tell you, Kaepernick, you know, he has just taken it too far for what has been, let's be very candid, not Colin Kaepernick was a above average quarterback for a few years who basically vanished very quickly from the playing field. Would I take him over Bortles or Gabbard and some of the other journeyman quarterback we've had here in Jacksonville? Yeah, I probably would.
Wait a second. That's not a high water mark. Wait a second.
Would I take him over David Garrard or Mark Brunell? Probably not. Yeah. Okay. It was a tough, yeah, but so even still, though, I think this was a absurd decision by Nike. And I do think, you know, look, we on the right have often fallen into the trap of, well, big business is our friend. Big business is going to support us. And it never, you know, it doesn't matter how many times conservatives go to bat for them on taxes or incentives. Increasingly, I think big business, when push comes to shove, goes left. We saw that on same-sex relations. We certainly see that with companies like Amazon, Starbucks, Disney, and so on. And yeah, I think Nike is just kind of the latest, you know, drop in that bucket. So
if you think that Nike, you know, and there are people who've actually weighed in on this last week, earlier in the week, I should say, suggesting that maybe this could have been, you know, something that was completely staged by Nike in order to get their names in the news and, you know, get people who are on the left to buy their shoes more. Suppose it's not. Could you see Nike in a no-win situation? Because they don't want any kind of controversy any way or the other. You know, had they rolled out with these shoes, then they would have, you know, had protests coming from the left. And now because they decided to pull them and not bring them into production, now they have protests coming from the right. Is Nike an innocent victim in this?
I don't know about innocent, but I do think Nike, they could have been in that no-win situation, mm-hmm. to be sure. I always remember people, namely Charles Barkley, used to push Michael Jordan, like, hey, why aren't you more active on social causes? Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan's response was, hey, Republicans buy shoes, too.
That's a good point.
You know, so it is interesting. It is absolutely
kind of like the NFL, the league, you know, being held responsible, you know, for the actions, you know, during the national anthem of some of its players and a very, very small few of its players. It can, as far as the percentage goes.
Well, and an owner of a certain team, just up the river, a team that will go probably 6-10 this year. Nothing. Mm-hmm. That might be optimistic. So
I'm not going to enter in that debate. But because Nike did it, it became a worldwide issue. If they had just ignored him, the question is, it would happen in the marketplace. If Kaepernick was correct, no shoes would be bought. If they were right, then the shoes would be bought or not bought. My point is this: what are they going to do with the shoes? Are they going to send them to some third world country? Maybe the best thing to do is buy one of those, find them in the third world, hold it for a couple hundred years, and it'd probably be worth the, you know, fortune.
Hold it for 10, 20 years, yeah. And you'll be rich if they get.
Yeah, so
eBay.
Exactly. Collector's items.
So all those people that rely on Nike shoes for a living, that might have been something that would be beneficial for during the Jolly Fourth weekend. No business is being done because they yanked it.
Well, I have my suspicions because they didn't even bring it to production yet.
No. They delivered them to the stores.
Oh, they already had them out.
Yes, okay. They had to recall them from the stores. Okay. I was wondering if one of those people in the stores probably just kept it for a souvenir for 10 years.
It's very possible.
Big temptation unless they had some kind of rule against that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I just find it, they made a big deal out of it, and they could have just let it, had him say, and just still sell the shoes.
At the very least, though, it warms us up for NFL season. We have another month till the Jaguars start losing in the preseason, and then they'll start losing in the regular season.
We're going to the playoffs. Come on, Kevin.
No, we're not.
Well, you know, this is the difference. Tom Brady, all during the season, I have never met him, but I know people that he gets up at 5 o'clock, 5:30, is in the gym at 5:30 to work out.
Just no like one, us, Matt. Just like us.
Yeah. No. We're drinking
he needs to wake up earlier than
and
that.
Sitting on our
me.
Butt.
I get up at 3.
Okay. Well, you can meet him. But my point is that his goal is to win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
He has got this mindset that everybody he works for has the same mindset. We need to have players in every team that says, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and just say that's the goal. It's not winning 6 games, 7 games. It's winning the Super Bowl. You go into the NFL to win the Super Bowl. Yes, they make a lot of money, and Tom Brady's made lots of money, but you go to win the ring. And that's the attitude that needs to be had here in Jacksonville.
Absolutely. This is the Ed Dean Radio Show on WBOB. You can always give us a call at 904-831-0600. This is Kevin Derby hosting, pinch hitting for Ed Dean, who's on assignment. We will be right back.
Not a lot of cars on the roads this morning. All the major highways look problem-free.
At Underwoods, we know what it takes to be one of the South's most trusted jewelers. Our reputation was made by carrying the finest quality. I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and we're proud to bring Forevermark diamonds to North Florida. Only 1% of the world's diamonds are eligible to become Forevermark. They're the world's most carefully selected diamonds that you can be proud to give and wear forever. The Forevermark icon invisibly inscribed on each diamond is proof of the Forevermark promise that each diamond is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Their exceptional beauty is unleashed by the world's finest craftsmen using skill and artistry passed down by generations. Forevermark diamonds benefit the communities from which they're sourced and are individually cared for from the mine to her finger. Underwoods is Jacksonville's authorized Forevermark jeweler, so make the right decision and come by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to
lose.
Get
a two-pack of my pillows premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024. Use promo code WBOB.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
There's around a 50-50 chance of thunderstorms today, a high of 88. This evening, only a 1 in 5 chance of rain, 76 the low. Right now, it is 76 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. You can always reach out to us at 904-831-0600. That's 904-831-0600. This is Kevin Derby. I'm pinch hitting for Ed, who's on assignment. Joining me in the studio is former city councilman Matt Schellenberg. We'll be taking your calls and talking about the issues of the day when we return. We will be right back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Parts of Southern California have been rattled by the strongest earthquake in two decades, a 6.4 tremor centered near Ridgecrest, northeast of L.A. The quake sparked a couple of house fires, reports of some injuries as well, and the earthquake was felt in parts of Nevada as well. The government's June employment report due for release this morning. Economists estimate that employers added roughly 164,000 jobs last month. In his July 4th speech at the Lincoln Memorial, President Trump paid tribute to the U.S. military and to American heroes from all walks of life, the president stressing the importance of unity to the future of the country. Wall Street gets back to work today following its break for Independence Day. The Dow will open at 26,966 following a record day on Wednesday. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. I-95 North near the airport, Pecan Park. There's a broken down car. It's in the right emergency lane. And 295 South at Lem Turner, another car there is stalled. It is also in the right emergency lane this morning. 50-50 chance of showers today and a high of 88. This evening, a 20% chance of rain and a low of 76. And right now it is 75 here at WBOB. Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Justice Department officials say they're researching a way to determine citizenship in the 2020 census after a judge says the census takers could not directly ask. A new University of Texas, Texas Tribune poll suggests Texas may be in play as a toss-up state in the 2020 presidential election. And Florida was represented at yesterday's Salute to America event in Washington. The first military displays were aircraft stationed in the Sunshine State.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. You can always call us and take part in the show at 904-831-0600. That's 904-831-0600. I am Kevin Derby. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, www.floridadaily.com. I am guest hosting for Ed, who is on assignment. Joining me in the studio is Matt Schellenberg, who has been off of the Jacksonville City Council for the big whopping 5 days now. Enjoying your retirement now, Matt.
Yes, I got to sleep in until 4 or 5 o'clock today to come here to be on the radio.
Now, when you're at the council, how long? What was your wake-up call? When did the call start coming in? 4?
No, you know, what amazes me is I get emails all the time, any time of the day and night. It was amazing. I'm thinking, don't these people sleep?
Answer, apparently not.
Exactly. And they wanted the answer then. Yeah. But no.
It's 2:30 in the morning. What do you mean you can't open the office?
Yeah. Alexa, drop in, right?
But you know what? When I would have sleepless nights, I would look at the emails and think about, you know, what they were saying. And so I wouldn't necessarily respond that late right away, but I would wait and think about it and then respond. And like I said, a lot of times I would ask for their phone number so we can actually have a dialogue.
You know, that's important. I think that's one of the things that we are losing as a Republican government, lowercase r, is the ability to have a community, you know, have a representative you know you're able to speak to. When you have someone like that, it absolutely helps. You're able to make a connection with the official, have a real conversation. You know, you can't do that in 140 characters or less on social media. And anyways, we have Gary giving a call. Gary, good morning, sir. How are you today? What's on your mind?
Oh, no, I just want to find out, do they have anybody that's going to run against Donald Trump in the Republican Party?
Yeah, there's actually one candidate already out there, former Governor William Weld, Bill Weld of Massachusetts. Weld has a very good record when he was governor of Massachusetts in the 90s. He actually came in, he's the governor who took Mike Dukakis' spot, pushed low taxes, got the Massachusetts government back under control. He is something of a maverick. He has been all over the map politically. He ran for office in New York, was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate. Weld's strategy, as far as I can tell, is basically not be Trump and hit Trump in New Hampshire. Look, if you're going to run against an incumbent president, New Hampshire's the place to do it. Gene McCarthy upset very came close to upsetting Lyndon Johnson there in 68. That ended LBJ's presidency. Ronald Reagan rocked Gerry Ford there hard in 76, basically ending Ford's presidency. Teddy Kennedy did the same thing to Jimmy Carter in 1980. And in the most recent time a president was in trouble in the New Hampshire primary, Pat Buchanan in 1992 took H.W. Bush to the mat, and it made things much more difficult for Bush to win a second term. Of course, Johnson, Ford, Carter, Bush all went down. Now, Weld hasn't been there quite yet. Most Republicans have been pretty much happy with the performance that Trump has done in the White House. But I will say one thing about New Hampshire. New Hampshire, remember, you can be a voter of any party. You can change your party affiliation the day of the primary.
Georgia, the same thing. Yeah, in our listening area.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can do that in New Hampshire. The reason for that was John Sununu and Karl Rove thought, oh, all these Democrats are going to like George W. Bush in 2000. Well, they like John McCain. It was one of the reasons McCain upset Bush there in 2000. That's what Weld's banking on. He hasn't quite taken off yet, but look, it is 6, 7, 8 months till the New Hampshire primary.
Is it fair to say, though, Kevin, that if you're going to run against an incumbent president in the primary, you really aren't trying to be president. You're trying to give the presidency to the Democrats or the other party?
Yeah, or you're trying to get him out of the race. It is a kamikaze mission, yeah, to be sure.
Because you know you're not going to win, and all you're going to do is damage the incumbent, right?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what Buchanan was trying to do in 92, get Bush off the ticket. You know, I think Reagan had much more presidential aspirations, but Ford was such a weird anomaly, had never been elected president, had never been elected vice president, was still in the Oval Office. You know, so I don't think Weld has any intention of being president of the United States. I do see this as a kamikaze mission.
Help me out. Has he raised any money?
Not really, but he comes from, well, he comes from money. He actually used to be married to a Roosevelt girl and one of the Roosevelts, and he actually has Teddy Roosevelt, not Franklin. And he does have quite a bit of background on Wall Street. He was an interesting guy. He was attorney number three guy at the Justice Department under Reagan. He is a bit of a gadfly, but he does have on fiscal issues. I'll be the first to admit William Weld is pretty impressive. I don't think he's going to be able to take Trump to the mat the way Buchanan did Bush, the way Kennedy did Carter, the way where Reagan did Ford. But he is technically out there. I do think Amash, though, will be look, if Justin Amash, the Minnesota, Michigan congressman, if he's the Libertarian candidate, I absolutely think he's going to hurt Trump, especially in states like Ohio, his home base in Michigan, and Pennsylvania, states that Trump needs desperately to stay in the White House.
Well, this guy's a gentleman from Massachusetts who wants to challenge Trump in the primary. What does he say his problem with the president is? I mean, with the economy's doing well, and you say he's an economics guy.
He is an economic guy. Well, hitting him on a lot of issues, talking about lack of integrity, talking about lack of transparency, hitting him for the national debt, which has gone up under Trump. I mean, I remember the Republicans, we can't have the national debt go, you know, over $20 trillion. We have a debt ceiling. They pushed that against Obama, and when Donald Trump asked for a $22 trillion debt, most of these guys folded. That's what he's hitting him on. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And Weld, I mean, he's a guy who's run for office in two states. He was the Libertarian vice presidential candidate out last time. I don't think he is the type to really make that push against him. The other Republicans who had been looking at it, John Kasich and that crowd, you know, essentially.
What about Romney?
No, Romney's not doing it. They bailed out. Romney, I don't think Romney's going to do it. I mean, he's not a Trump fan. And let's be very clear. Utah is, you know, yes, it went for Trump, but Utah is not a these are not Trump Republicans. The Mormon crowd doesn't really care for him. I think Romney is just more content making noises than anything else. So we will see.
Well, help me out. You go to the debt. This is what Ross Perot was talking about, 20, 30 years ago?
Absolutely.
And of course, it was probably only $5 trillion at that point. Now, as you said, it's $22 trillion. And as we talked off the air earlier, more revenues coming into the federal government that's ever occurred, and we're still going into debt.
Absolutely. And look, one of the reasons for this is an article which our own Ed Dean ran at Florida Daily last week. There were polls out showing Republicans and Democrats alike don't want to cut the federal government. The you know, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, Obamacare, it is now – those entitlements are such a part of our daily lives. Nobody wants to cut them. It's a problem. It is absolutely a problem.
Who's going to pay for those unintended consequences of the debt going forward in the next 10, 20 years when they're not going to get these young millennials, you, 44,
Gen Xer. I'm a Gen Xer, thank you.
Whatever you are, you're 44. You're younger 44. Than I am. Do you anticipate getting Social Security?
No. Not in its current form, no.
Do you anticipate getting Medicare?
Not in its current form, no.
Okay, and what was the other one you said?
Obamacare, Medicaid.
What about your student loans? You're going to get paid off?
I have no student loans. Okay. I'm good on that front.
Okay. But this goes back to student loans back 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. In your case, they weren't as substantial, but the cost of college education, because of federal government, it's never slowed down. They've gone up 3 or 4% every year, and I'm not quite sure what the professors do, and I have.
Much higher than that, actually. The inflationary rate for higher ed is about 9 to 11% each year. And here's the problem there. And I'm saying this as someone who used to be in higher education, assistant registrar at JU, registrar at Edward Waters College, did a decade in enrollment management. you know, and I'm about to start the PhD, so I do kind of know these things. Look, the problem with college costs, there's a lot going on. One of it has been the growth, the absolute growth of administration. It is a, you know, it's not the professors. Professors, they have their problems. They, you know, I have problems with tenure. I have problems with too much assessment going on with professors. But I don't think they're the problem. I think it's the administrations. It is, do you need that many assistant registrars and that many admissions officials and that many financial aid officials and that many people in the bursar's office and that many people in diversity and these many people in student affairs? That's part of the problem. The other problem, though, is, look, both the Democrats and the Republicans throw money at higher ed, okay? They do it in very different ways. The Democrats will say, well, we need to throw more and pay the professors more and pay the administrators more. Typical big government Democrats. Republicans, including especially the senior senator from this state, Marco Rubio, they almost always in the pocket of the proprietary schools, the University of Phoenix, formerly ITT.
Interesting.
You know, and the problem that they have is, well, this is the free market. No, it isn't. Look, it cost more to go to ITT before it was shut down than it did most Ivy League schools. Why? Because Title IV and Pell, federal monies. And I don't want to hear, well, that's the free market. Garbage. That's corporate capitalism. There are some interesting ideas out there. I will always applaud Rick Scott and his administration's call. Hey, let's have Florida State colleges offer four-year degrees, $10,000 or less. There's, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Democrats. There's one South Florida Democrat, Donna Shalala. You may remember her from Bill Clinton's HHS secretary. She's now in South Florida in Congress. She was president of the University of Miami, president of Hunter College, what I call the UCLA of the East Coast, University of the Corner of Lexington Avenue, but I'm bumpsh. And she was chancellor of the University of Wisconsin. Shalala is calling for, let's redo how GI benefits are treated at proprietary schools. That's how a lot of schools, ITT, Phoenix, they live on those GI Bill monies. She wants to reform how that happens. It's probably worth at least a look. That's what you need to do. You need to rein in costs somehow.
I thought right the federal money was going to research grants and
not always. No, a lot of
to figure out how to create different things. I think USF, example, have really done groundbreaking things with respect to robotics.
Yeah, you're right. They have, and there are some federal monies going that. But now I'm talking about Title IV. I'm talking Pell.
Okay,
that's where a lot of the problems are, and you have too many students defaulting on them, especially in the case of like some of them are diploma mills, degree mills. Some of them aren't, but a lot of them, they have much higher default rates. And yeah, the taxpayer is often left on the hook. It is an absolute mess. Neither the left nor the right have any good solutions here. Like everything else in this country, this problem has been building for years. Absolutely.
Well, the helping out GI Bill, that goes back to World War II. Is
absolutely.
That
it came out in 46.
Mm-hmm. 46. And it helped people returning to get an education that took off when they were 18 or so to go back to college.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it absolutely played very well there.
So along those lines, your admission office, a lot of these things are accumulating in Harvard. People are Asians. A certain percentage of Harvard people, Jewish has been held off to about 15% of the students of Harvard. What is your position on this? Because you were there inside the
belly of the beast. Yes. Look, my old boss, Dennis Safran, actually has a lot of great articles over at City Journal talking about, you know, how Harvard is trying to basically say no more Asians. And yeah, it is an absolute problem. You're starting to see that also in the New York City public schools. I wonder if, and look, whatever starts in New York, for better or for worse, drives the culture. And you will absolutely see this kind of policy expand. I oppose to that. I absolutely oppose that. I think it is now, you know, these ratios, these, you know, kind of divvying up the populations. It is now absolutely hurting some of our best and brightest. You know, the affirmative action plans are now hurting the Asian community. It is hurting the Jewish community, which
it's always hurt the Jewish community.
Absolutely.
In Harvard and Ivy League schools. But in California, you have the same problem, do you not?
You do, and that's going to continue to grow as those school systems in California continue to see problems and over-enrollment. This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. Give us a call at 904- 831-0600. I'm Kevin Derby from Florida Daily, and we will be right back.
I-95 South at Union Street. There is an accident there this morning. Plan on maybe some slowdown. Not a lot of cars on the road to contribute. And then 295 South at Wilson Boulevard. Look out for a broken down car. It is in the inside left lane.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of America First, we'll check in with Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch to talk about Hillary Clinton and her conflicting stories about her classified emails. We'll have Sinclair's chief political commentator Boris Epstein on the media's reaction to the Trump-Kim Jong-un meeting. Plus, Karen Watson will share with us what it's like to be black and a Republican. All that and more coming up on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Saturday nights, 6 till 9 p.m. on WBOB.
We're expecting around a 50-50 chance of rain today and a high of 88. This evening, a 20% chance of showers. Overnight, the low 76. Right now, it's 75 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new Quinnipiac poll shows Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are statistically tied in the Democrats running for president. A U.S. Navy SEAL was found not guilty in the killing of an ISIS fighter in Iraq. And Laura Blazidon, a lawyer, law professor, and writer, admits in the New York Times, I pick my job over my kids.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. You can hear it throughout the First Coast, into Georgia, and even into the great state of South Carolina. You can always give us a call at 904-831-0600. That is 904-831-0600. I'm Kevin Derby, pinch hitting for Ed Dean. I'm the editor of Florida Daily, www.floridadaily.com. Joining me is Matt Schellenberg, former Jacksonville City Councilman here in the great state of Florida. Roger Henderson manning the big board. And he says we have a 50-50 chance of rain today.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. Either it rains or it doesn't.
Exactly. But, you know, they say statistically they're looking at the clouds coming in. Sometimes they can just see it's clear blue skies for thousands of miles in all directions. Oh, oh. No rain then.
Actually, it's not 50-50. It's 50% of the area it's going to get
exactly.
rain.
Exactly. Okay. It's always a bad joke.
I know. And they're so right on climate change. They're 50-50 on that one, too.
Okay.
Hey, I want to go back. You don't want to talk about that solution of discrimination and affirmative action in colleges. Do you have a solution?
No, I don't. But maybe we have calling us up is Mike, who wants to talk about student loan debt. Mike, good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Oh, pleasure's ours.
I apologize.
The pleasure's
You're
ours.
You're on a speakerphone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine, Mike. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I was wondering if the panel knew, it's my understanding that student loans are not eligible for Chapter 7 or like a Chapter 13 debt. Was that always the case? Did someone pass the law? Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I know that a lot of them are not wiped away with bankruptcy. I don't know if it was ever established, if that was how it was created back in the 60s, or if that was an addition over the years. That is a very, very good question. I mean, what any insights you could have would be terrific, Mike. I just don't know. It was added on or when it was created or whether it was added on later.
Okay. I would think that if they were eligible, I think that'd be a game changer, you know, for the better or worse, but I just don't think costs would be what they are if you had a significant amount of students, you know, filing Chapter 7 after graduating. And I think a large amount would, and then they would, you know, take the hit and then just rebuild their credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, I know we always, oh, millennials, oh, horrible millennials. You know, we're giving them $22 trillion in debt, you know, when I, as opposed to $6 trillion at the start of this century. You know, I think student loan debt, the interest rates, college costs in general are completely out of control in this country. They really are. And I do think there are opportunities for the Florida State schools having degrees for $10,000 or less. I like what a lot of states are doing, including states in the Southeast saying, hey, we will give states, you know, residents of Georgia can get in-state tuition in certain states, you know, and vice versa. You know, I like having those kind of agreements. I like having that kind of expansion. I like seeing more students go to regional schools like the University of North Florida, Florida Atlantic, UCF. We've seen growth in all of those schools. So there are some kind of minor solutions. I'll be curious to see if they can take those nationwide, so to speak. We will see. We will absolutely see. There are options out there. You know, we don't all need to go to Harvard.
Exactly. And I wish there was more of a public push and an acceptance of the trades. You know, I know when I call up a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, you know, what their hourly rate is, your mechanic, and I don't make that money, and I have a degree, mm-hmm. and I have a good job.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think one of the problems we've had is, look, we've had a lot of Republican administrations in this state in particular saying, well, we need to, you know, tie colleges to 21st century jobs. That's great. The problem is your computer skills, your computer accounting skills. You know, what you learn in college are gone by 5 years. But you're absolutely right, Mike. Those skills, the performing of trade, whether it's plumbing, whether it's carpentry, whether it's driving a truck, that is absolutely timeless. And I think there are opportunities for that. So I appreciate the call. I truly do, Mike.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you for yours. We appreciate it. Also wanting to talk about student debt is Gary. Gary, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. By yourself, sir?
Well, I have a son in college. He goes to UCF.
Okay.
And probably over 60 to 65% of our cost going to school isn't the tuition. It's the housing and and the food.
Exactly. Room and board.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Room and board is also going up there just as much as anything else. No, you're absolutely right about that, state universities. And UCF in particular. Look, UCF.
They have no dorms at UCF, am I not correct? You have to rent an apartment, but they have them all around the university, if I'm not correct, or at least most of them.
No, they got dorms all over the school.
Yeah, and increasingly all over Orlando. Mm. You know, UCF is interesting because unlike, say, you know, UF in Gainesville or Florida State in Tallahassee, where I am, that's in a major city. I mean, UNF is with Jacksonville, too, but that has become a fascinating challenge because, look, let's be very candid. UCF's growth is one of the most underreported stories in this state in the last 30 years. Just their national reputation, the growth of the explosion of students, and let's be very clear.
They're now
clear.
The largest university in the state.
They are. And look, students, you know, in New York, in California, in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Ohio, they want to be in Orlando. They want to be at UCF. So, no, you're absolutely spot on in that assessment, Gary.
How much, could you ballpark what rent is for your son's or daughter's room and board? Gary?
I think he may have hung up.
But this is one of the biggest problems. You know, when we went to, even you, Kevin, even when I went to school, you just had a room and you probably had four or five people in the room and you had a shared shower and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
That does not happen anymore. You have a gorgeous, well, nice apartment with
flat
a TV.
Screen TV.
Yeah, and you got a shower all by yourself. You might have another roommate, but that's one of the biggest costs of going away to college. It's not the tuition per se, it's room and board.
Yeah, but what's so interesting though, all the numbers indicate that the students who live on campus, at least during their freshman year, maybe into their sophomore year, their rate of graduation is a lot higher than those who live at home and commute.
That's absolutely true. It is absolutely true when it comes to that. Anyways, this is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. Give us a call at 904-831-0600. This is Kevin Derby, and I will be right back.
And if you're at 95 South at Union Street, look out for a wreck there this morning. It's in the inside left lane, 295 South at Wilson Boulevard, a stalled car, and 10 West at Lenox Avenue. There's a crash, and it's on the right.
I'm Rich Thomason in for Lou Dobbs. Wall Street hoping for another rally. Ford, second quarter sales slip. Democrats still grumbling about 4th of July event in Washington. Those stories next.
This is your stock market bulletin. I'm Bobby Richards. The CEO of an obscure $3 tech stock founded by the blue-collar son of a police officer has captured the attention of Donald Trump. Trump met with the CEO at the White House. And since then, Donald Trump appears to have become the company's number one fan. He showed up at a groundbreaking ceremony. He called the CEO one of the most successful business people across the globe, and he said what they are doing is the eighth wonder of the world. We decided to investigate for ourselves and reached out to the premier stock analyst in the United States, Oxford Club Chief Investment Strategist Alex Green. Alex told us the company is landing massive deals, including $450 million with Nokia, $395 million with Microsoft, $828 million with Cisco, and $29.2 billion with Apple. The company is set to create 50,000 jobs in America this year, and Alex has now declared this $3 stock his number one play for 2019. Go to OneStockRetirement.com for more details, including how much Alex expects the stock to rise this year.
After taking a break for the holiday yesterday, Wall Street will be humming at full speed today as normal trading resumes. Industry watchers hope another rally will push stocks even higher than the record highs it reached on Wednesday's holiday-shortened trading. Ford Motor Company says its U.S. car sales slid nearly 3% in the first half of this year, the latest car maker to report weaker sales. With America's 4th of July celebrations in the history books, some Democratic lawmakers and a handful of environmental activists are still grousing about the $2.5 million in National Park Service funds used to pay for President Trump's celebration on the National Mall. Congressional Republicans shrug off the complaints as partisan politics. Please join us for Lou Dobbs tonight at 7 and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, July 13th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, July 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue. And Saturday, July 13th from 12 noon to 10 p.m. It's the Beach's Freedom Festival at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Florida controls the destiny of this nation, and we live on the front lines in the fight for America. Our votes, our actions, will determine our future. We are the battleground. Tune in to Battleground News with Karen Morton and Jim Davis, covering national, state, and local issues, and how you can enlist in this battle for America's future. 5 to 6 p.m. every Monday and Friday, right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1. Talk Radio WBOB.
And we're expecting maybe some rain rolling in today and a high of 88 this evening. A 1 in 5 chance of rain, low 76 right now at 75 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling a new number, 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
This is the Ed Dean Radio Show here on WBOB. I'm Kevin Derby from Florida Daily Pinch Hitting. I want to thank Gordon Schwartz, who noted that it is very thinly possible to include student loans in Chapter 7 and 13, but you have to prove in detail undue hardship. So we learn it something. I appreciate the information, Mr. Schwartz, so thank you. This is the Ed Dean Radio Show. Feel free to reach out at 904-831-0600. That's 831-0600. This is Kevin Derby from Florida Daily, pinch hitting for Ed Dean, and we will be right back.
Every girl crazy about a shark, that's right.